Haskell, Brother and Sister, Loma Linda, California, November 3, 1907. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, we thank you for your letters and for the news that they contain. We have just had a very interesting medical convention. There were some who endeavored to have this meeting held in the city of Los Angeles. They reasoned that there were some in that city who would be unable to attend if it were held anywhere else. But such an objection might be raised in any case, for there were many from Loma Linda who could not have attended had it been held in Los Angeles. I thank the Lord that it has been held here, for I believe that this is where the Lord would have it. I felt utterly unfit physically for a journey to Southern California, but the Lord has imparted strength to both body and soul. I have spoken several times. 3 times in 1 day I climbed the hill from the main building to the assembly hall and returned to my room on the 3rd floor. The day previous to this I had spoken twice, once to the convention and once in the parlor to the patients. For more than a year the light has been coming to me that here at Loma Linda we should have a school of the highest order, and that the very best talent should be obtained, in order to prepare young men and young women for medical missionary work. This work we are desirous of seeing accomplished. It should not be necessary for students to be placed under the influence of teachers who do not obey the law of God. I wish that you might have been present at this meeting. I think it would be well for you to be here as soon as possible. The instruction you might give would just now be very timely. You should be here with us to help in molding and fashioning the work. We are all doing the best we can to take advanced steps in the right direction. There should be a different mold placed upon the work in this Southern California Conference. The president of this field has not had the experience that one should have who occupies such an important position. He seems to be unable to understand the Lord's plans for the carrying forward of the work. A man lives unto God when he continually recognizes Him as a present helper. When there is a recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a holy fear lest he shall make mistakes. The soul will be drawn out continually in earnest prayer as he realizes his need. As he draws nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto him. The love of God will be kindled in his heart, and he will be able to speak the words of God. The language of the heart will then be, "Whom have I in heaven but thee, and who on earth do I desire beside thee?" Psalm 73, verse 25. We must give evidence of a spiritual relationship to God, in all our ways acknowledging Him. Others will be able to detect whether we make ourselves a center, or whether we regard Christ as all and in all. When we have the fear of the Lord ever before us, our experience will not be tame and spiritless. Christ formed within will be the hope of glory. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. In Him there is a hope that maketh not ashamed. Romans 5, verse 5. The joy of the Lord will break forth from lips that are sanctified. We must now receive rich experiences in the service of God. Our faith is to be expressed in thanksgiving. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. Psalm 50, verse 23. In everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. Let expressions of praise flow forth from human lips. We are to rejoice in the Lord more than we have done. Let not the heart remain cold and dull and unimpressive. There are some who think that in matters of practical Christianity, they have a superior intelligence. Whether or not this is so will be demonstrated by the life actions. Are they self-centered, or are they moved by the Holy Spirit of truth and righteousness? Religion is to become a living, active principle. The one all-absorbing motive of the true Christian is to give an expression of the goodness and love of Christ. We need you here, Brother Haskell, to exert your influence against the presumption of men who feel that their brethren must ask permission of them before engaging in the Lord's service where and in the manner that He indicates. Such presumption should find no place in the cause of God. We hope that there may be such changes here that the work of the Lord may move on more smoothly. The influence of the president of this conference has been such that it is very difficult to obtain means for Loma Linda. He seems to have labored to hedge up the way, but has raised thousands of dollars for the school at Fernando. We wish that there might be a reconversion wrought in our brother, that he might fall on the rock and be broken. The Lord sends his messages to correct the erring, however highly they may regard themselves. He asks that they submit their judgment to his control. Every soul must be under discipline to God. To occupy an exalted position is not always evidence that the Lord has placed an individual in that position. It is the works, not position, that testify to the value of a man. Hereditary traits of character need to be overcome. A man cannot safely be entrusted with the control of others unless he himself is under the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. In the spirit of meekness and lowliness of heart, all methods and plans should be submitted to wise counselors for their prayerful consideration and their endorsement. Otherwise, a restless, speculative energy and ambition may make an evil mark upon the cause of God and subvert and hinder the very work that the Lord has declared should be done in this conference. In order that the great work of sanctification that needs to be carried forward in the churches of Southern California may be accomplished, the minds and wills of our ministers, physicians, and teachers should be united, their hearts blending in one spirit, to give the trumpet a certain sound. Let every voice proclaim distinctly the third angel's message. In word and act, let those who are proclaiming the message reveal that they are numbered among those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 12. If this had been done faithfully, with the word of the living God as the great lesson book, the third angel's message would have gone with greater power. Had all God's ministers, as faithful stewards of the grace of God, called upon the world to hear the last note of warning, giving the trumpet a certain sound, thousands more might have been converted and added their voices in proclaiming the message to the world. In distinct notes of solemn warning is to be given the closing message that will prepare a people to receive the seal of the living God. Satan is working to fill minds with the spirit of ambition and of commercialism. Those whose minds are thus diverted will lose their opportunity of giving the last message to the world. If a faithful work had been done during the last few years that have gone into eternity, thousands of souls would now be found with Bibles in their hands, reading the Word of God and praying for light and guidance. Many of these would be engaged in the work of hunting for souls and fitting up a people to stand in the great day of God. But some who ought to be missionaries are enthused with the spirit of commercialism and with an ambition to secure for themselves certain advantages. The truth becomes to them a dead letter not practiced or obeyed. Jehovah is the true God. Let him be feared and reverenced.